filled with excitement. I'm filled with joy. I hope I like actually talk at a pace that you can understand. You know, you get excited, you start going really fast. I told Amy on the way here, so if I start to talk fast, it's not because I'm nervous. It's because I'm excited. Just wave me down. Like, don't cheer me on. Don't wave a hanky, whatever. But hey, thank you guys for coming out tonight. It means a lot to us here. Tonight is going to be a night of us sharing all that God accomplished through our church in 2016 and us sharing with you where we are looking to go in 2017. So when you came in, there was packets there on the stand. I know there's a couple left. If you want to share with the person next to you, that'd be cool. If you want to kind of throw one back, just because I know more people are coming. And the other thing that's on there is a QR code. So if you have an app for a quick read, quick response, whatever your app calls it, mine just calls it Laser. You can scan that and it'll just go right on your phone. And we'll have this available as well going forward so you can see it. But what we're going to do to center our hearts on God is I'm going to start by just praying. And you guys, where you are, just praise God for all that he's done. Let your hearts be filled with excitement over this first year as a church. And then we're going to sing a song together. We have a lyric video. So don't think like, where's the band? Are they invisible? They're not up here tonight. Tonight, we're just going to put on a song and we're going to sing the song together that way. And then I'm going to come and just kind of encourage you and give you kind of an outline of what the night's going to look like. So let's center our hearts on God right now and begin praying. Good Lord, we love you. Oh my goodness, we are so in love with you. We are so thankful for all that you have done in our hearts, for how you have changed our story. Lord, every single one of us here tonight, we have seen how Jesus, your son, has made a difference in our lives. And as a church that comes together, we are a group of people who have been moved and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, who have been changed by what Jesus Christ did thousands of years ago. It is still changing lives today. And to think that you would use this church here in Flanders to reach a community, it is mind-blowing. It is just filling our hearts with joy and excitement. And so tonight, as we gather in this place, we want to be encouraged. We want to be empowered for 2017. We want to cast and share vision and know that you are working here. And so we thank you. I pray, Lord, that we would be unified together. I pray that such a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood and unity would overwhelm this church as we continue to move forward to share the gospel, that our mission would be clear. We want to make Jesus known. We want the gospel to be central in our hearts and our lives, and we want to be disciples who live on mission. Father, we thank you for all you have done and all you're going to do even tonight. Fill our hearts with joy. As we praise you now, we direct our worshiping hearts towards Jesus, your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Guys, I'm feeling Pentecostal tonight. All right. So I can't tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to invite you guys to stand now. We're going to sing this song together. It's one of my favorites. It's called Love So Great. Thank you so much for all that you have done in our lives. We declare tonight that you are the Lord Almighty, that your love is like a wild ocean just overtaking our hearts, and you are using us to share that love in this community. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Wow. I am excited, and it's not just because I'm on cup number 5, I promise you. But I will have this with me. I'm telling you, Starbucks should definitely pay me for the amount of advertising I do for them, right? I mean, we should start getting some commission here at the church. Man, it's just a wonderful thing, all that God has done in this past year. Not through me, not through our leadership team, but through us, through every single one of you guys and the many people who aren't here tonight, through this church coming together and allowing God to work. And so I want to thank you guys, and I'm probably going to say thank you a lot tonight as we progress through what is kind of a meeting, but it's just going to be, I was telling Amy, I was like, I feel like we just should have just called it a pep rally. Like, this is just, let's just get excited about all that God did and get excited about what he's going to do moving forward. So with that, I want you to see what it's going to look like tonight. I want to share just a word with you for a couple minutes, scripture that's been on my heart for a while, thinking about this night. And then we have three board members from Medford Assembly of God here tonight with us, Matt, Rich, and Noel. And for some of you guys, you're like, why are they here? I don't understand. Maybe you're not even familiar. So we are considered a PAC church, which means we're a parent-affiliated church. So when we came here back in October of 2015, my wife and I and different people from other churches to just see God do something something amazing in this place. Medford said, we're gonna help them carry the torch. We want to be there to make sure that this thing is going to go from the ground. It's going to start running on its feet. So Medford has been integral in what we've experiencing here. These guys pray for us daily. These guys look over everything that happens here monthly. These guys have us on their radar for a reason. And so they're here tonight, and Matt's going to share in just a couple minutes what's on his heart and kind of encourage our church. And I'm not going to steal any words from him. So Matt, you keep your words to yourself. All right, man. But what I want to share with you guys tonight is this. The book of Acts tells of the church's really inception and its growth. It's spreading. And when you get to Acts 17, by that point in Luke's writing of what's going on, the church has undergone some persecution that has made the message of Jesus spread. And Jesus told his followers, hey, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I think as we read that in Acts chapter 1, we don't catch the gravity of what Jesus is saying to them in that moment. Because for a Jewish man to tell a Jewish audience, at some point the message of me is going to reach Samaria, it's like, no, it's not going to reach Samaria. There's no way. Jesus, have you met Samaritans? Like, there's no redeeming qualities about them. And then in Acts chapter 8, you get this moment where persecution comes so strong against the church that the church starts to spread to Samaria. And people are hearing about Jesus. People who were written off as there's no hope, right? We talked about that this past Sunday. There's no hope for you. There's no point for your existence. There's no way God can reach you. The church starts spreading. And the book of Acts is just this miraculous inception of what Jesus started. And as he said to Peter, look, the gates of hell are not going to destroy this thing. Nothing is going to stop this, because they were fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, because they carried the message of Jesus Christ where they went. And I love when they get into Acts chapter 17, because Paul is preaching at these synagogues, and you can read the verses before. It says, as he usually did. He spent three Saturdays there going to the synagogues and reasoning with the people. And then you get to verse 5, where it says that many believed, even devout Greeks were believing. It says women were believing. And what Luke is doing is he's painting this picture of the outcast believing in Jesus Christ, of the ones who have no right. He makes it a point to say Greeks believed and women believed. Because you guys know, I've shared it before, in this society, women weren't viewed as equals. Greeks were not viewed as equals to Jews. And then they find this guy, Jason, who's kind of been hanging around with Paul. It's like the one like name we can pronounce, right? In scripture, like Jason, how'd he get thrown in there? Right? So you get to Jason, and he's sharing the gospel as well. And so because the people can't find Paul, because he's moved on to another city, they grab Jason, they bring him out to the square, and they say this: these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. These guys who are carrying the message of Jesus, we thought they wouldn't reach our city. We thought they weren't going to come here, but they have. And now, like, they're going to do what they've been doing in other cities. They've been talking about Jesus, and people have been leaving traditions and systems that they were used to for years. And their horizontal practices are getting just broken up and destroyed because of this vertical message. And they make this claim. They've come here too now. And as I was thinking about this first year of Truth Community Church, this scripture just came on my heart. That in 2015, in 2016, these people got together in this community of Flanders. There was a passion for Jesus Christ. There was a passion for the gospel message going out. There was Holy Spirit-fueled mission taking place here. And they've come here also, and the world's getting turned upside down. And I'm going to share with you guys, as we go through the packet that you have, of some of the things that have been said about you, good things that have been said about you as this church, that it's just going to blow your mind of what people in the community are saying when they consider this little white church building tucked far back in Flanders. Like, when I tell people I'm in Flanders, they're like, what? I'm like, Riverhead. Just think Riverhead. They have no idea. Like, immediately Simpsons just comes into so many people's heads. Like, Mr. Flanders? Like, yes, Christian guy, but no. Right? But this verse, Acts 17:6, this for me, this was like year one verse. People with the gospel, people who are willing to live on mission, people who are willing to give when they shouldn't, give beyond their means, as Paul says about a church in Corinthians, those people came to Flanders now, and the whole thing, the whole system's getting turned upside down. And isn't that what Jesus did when he showed up? He flipped the whole system on its head. He started saying weird things like the last is first, and the least is the greatest, and the leader is the servant. And he, this upside down way. And that's what you guys have brought to this community. That's what you bring every time you give. That's what you bring every time you show up. That's what you bring every time you serve. That's what you bring every time you just shake a hand in this place. You are turning the system upside down. And so be encouraged tonight, because I've seen the system get turned upside down in year one, and I know it's just going to keep getting flipped on its head in year two, and in year three, and in year four, and in the many years to come as we gather as a church here. So be encouraged tonight. And Matt, you're going to come up here, and you have a lot to follow, man. I'm so sorry. Wow. I want you guys to welcome my friend Matt from Medford. Thanks, man.
Here you go, Ryan. I'm going to lay this down. You can hear me. Sure. You'll still hear me. Don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me. So thank you, everybody, for allowing me to talk. I think I'm the only person who talks faster than Pastor Keith. So hang on, because I'm going to do my best. I do. I'm on my, 10th cup today. It started at 5:30 this morning at the homeless ministry, and then it just kept on going, so I haven't stopped. But first, I really want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you here today. Really excited about it. I'm excited seeing what's happening and just hearing. We're praying for you guys every day. He's right. We're praying for you at our monthly meetings. Every board meeting, we talk about your church. We talk about the community and what's happening. And it's really exciting to us because we really see the vision that God has put through you and Amy, in this church and this community and this congregation. So really excited. So let me start off by saying how Pastor Anthony, I can't tell you how sad he is that he couldn't be here personally tonight. Pastor Anthony, if you think we pray a lot for you, you have no idea how much that man's praying for this church and how much he prays for you guys and your leadership and your congregation. But he had a scheduling conflict, something that he just couldn't change. So he asked us to come and talk to you guys and really put on our heart to ask us to talk about what's on our heart. Brother Rich and Noel, who have been on the board for, I think Rich and I have been on the board for 2 years. And Noel, this is your sixth year and your last year for now. So, but again, Pastor Anthony sends all his love to you guys and is really thankful for everything that's going on in this church. So before I start, clearly Pastor Keith said it's not about you. And he's so humble, which is great. And I'm not going to swell your head, but I'm gonna. But first, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor to Jesus. This is all about him. There is no other name. There is no name like it. His name is the only one that needs to be glorified. Let him use us. Let him use you guys. Let him use his church, the community. Rally around that one name, the name above all names. So, Pastor Keith, 1 year. This is your first real business meeting. This is awesome. And I think what's exciting is, and the best way I can explain it, is just to say, wow, what a year he's had. And for me, watching this church grow, watching what's happened in the community, this year has been really a roller coaster of mostly highs. I'm waiting for the down, and it just doesn't seem to be a down. It just keeps going up and up and up. You're an incredible teacher, and you have a gift by God. Just breathe into you the gift of teaching, motivating. And when I say motivating, it's interesting because I go to Methodist Assembly of God, and Sunday I'm there and I'm ready to hear my pastor preach and be fed on the word. But every Tuesday, Pastor Keith knows this, every Tuesday he's my next teacher, because Tuesday he's my lunch date. Although he's in Flanders or Riverhead or whatever you want to call it, while he's here, I'm at my job, and he's what I'm listening to on Tuesdays. And I can't get fed enough. And when I hear the differences, but the similarities to the truth, to the one truth, to the Bible, to God's word, how it's spoken to Pastor Anthony, how it's spoken to Pastor Keith, it just keeps me motivated every day. So not only are you a great teacher, an incredible motivator. I think that what we at the church are seeing is a boldness that I think is incredible. Amen. The boldness of how willing you are to get out there, how to stretch yourself. Now, I know Starbucks is his favorite place in the world. We see that on Facebook. We see that everywhere. I wanted to bring a Starbucks cup because we're not allowed to bring coffee into the sanctuary. So I love this. This is great. This is beautiful. Anyway, so I came in. He goes, "You want coffee?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is great." I thought I was done.
But how you today, just speaking, how you act, you go to Starbucks and you sit at the community table just hoping that the Lord puts an opportunity in front of him. Just hoping that whatever his will is, that you will seize that opportunity, take advantage of the person or the persons in front of you, and spread the word. And just talk the truth. And that's making a difference. That's what's going to make the difference in this community. That's what's going to fill these seats. That's what's going to bust down these walls, because we're going to have to build a bigger area or move to a whole new place, because it's the community that's going to grow this church. And the more people that are strong enough to be as bold as you are and as proud to be Christian, to proud to serve the one true God, that's what's going to bring others to this church. And again, what an amazing example set that you guys are. Your family values, your faith, it really is amazing. So we just couldn't say enough about it. Financially responsible. This is something you don't see, especially with such a young guy. I'll say that again. You know, such a young guy, but so financially responsible. So we had great stories sitting at the board. Pastor Keith needs something. He's like, I need to get $800 to get this computer. I'm like, $800 for a computer? What computer are you buying? He's like, yeah, no, I'll negotiate. I'll work it out. We'll do it. Like, let's just give him like $1,200. No, I just need $800. And he's out there financially being the steward of the money of this church, making sure that he's being responsible. That's maybe something not everybody knows. But the board, we know, because we see what he puts in for and how he manages the money. Now, we have to sign off on it, which is great. We've never had to question anything because we know where his heart is and we see how he's taken that as serious as anybody has ever seen serious. So I don't know how you get those computers, but when I need something, I know if you need something, I know who to go to. I think what I love about Pastor Keith and the church and the leadership is how you have a vision. And that vision is not your vision. It's Jesus' vision. Amen. You see, you're reading it. You know what the vision is. You're just following his lead. You're just taking advantage of what he has put in your hearts. We're so excited for this vision. And then your vision is not how many people we can put in the seats. It's how many people we can bring to the cross. How many people that we can bring that don't know Jesus, that need to know Jesus. There's a lot of us that have struggles and have challenges, and there are tons of people out there that know nothing about Jesus. It's our job to bring Jesus to them, to show Jesus to them. We may not have to say a word, but our actions and how we respond and how we communicate and how we interact, let that be the seed that's sown. Let that continue to show the community of what this church is all about. It's not about bringing you in here and getting you in here so that we can say, wow, I had 39 people, I had 57 people. The pastor didn't talk about what his vision is of how many people are going to be in here, because he knows what God is doing in this community. It's just going to happen naturally. So we're excited about the vision, but that your numbers are not based on how many people are in the seats, but how many people you can bring the love of Jesus, which is what it's all about. How you've gone to the community is amazing. I think it's something for all of us to learn about how to work with different people in the community that maybe are outside what the normal people that we would kind of communicate in the church. You're going to everybody you could who will listen to you. Will you listen to me? Sure. Well, let's sit down. Let's have a cup of coffee, which is what you say to everybody. Let's have a cup of coffee. But the way you've interacted with the community, the way you've shown the community of how much you love them and how you have no other agenda. You have no agenda except to bring the community together. When I think about Hope Day, Mike, where's Mike? Hope Day! Oh, there he is. I didn't even see you sitting in the front. Sorry. So when I think about Hope Day and the things that you've done at Hope Day, and then you've had the Christmas tree lighting, and then you've had, what was it, an Easter egg hunt? Nope. That's my church. Darn. A noose. One of us had an Easter egg hunt.
It's not a prophecy either.
Yeah, maybe. Trunk or treat. You had a trunk or treat, right? Okay. So with all that being said, it's just amazing how you're reaching the community in different ways. And we're really excited about what's happening in this church. I think that, you know, as we go down this path and we're watching you grow, we're seeing the intelligence. The intelligence that is not derived of anything you've studied in the past except for the Bible. It's about how Jesus is using this young man to bring the Lord to this community, to bring hope, so we can trust that the Lord will be faithful, and he will bring the people to this cross. And we're excited about that. And he knows he can't do it alone. And that's why he's building up the leaders of this church. And I understand that there's Ashley, right there. And I know that's Devin. And then there's Edwin. And then there is Reverend Taramina. And that's not just about that leadership team, and it's not certainly about that leadership team. It's not even about Pastor Anthony as the supreme leader, the senior pastor, but it's about everybody growing within the church. It's not about staying here. If you're staying still, you're falling back. It's always about growing closer to Jesus. And that's where leadership is going to come, and volunteering is going to come, and having the heart and the will to want to do God's work and be and do it with exception and do it with excellence. So I close it up with a couple things. You're goal-oriented with a single purpose, and that's to bring people to Christ. If there's nothing else, if this place never gets a new coat of paint, if it never gets new technology, which is probably not going to happen, technology, I mean, we got a smart QR code reader when we walk in. Holy cow. I was like, check this out. This is, I thought I was, I'm way behind now. But really, from Medford Assembly of God, from the community of Medford, we couldn't be more proud of what you guys have done. This congregation, it is an amazing transformation. And what we expect to see, Pastor's going to talk about it shortly, about what the future looks like for this church. And I trust in the Lord that this is going to be an amazing, something that's going to be talked about. You talked about in Acts, it's going to be exactly like that. So thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it, Pastor Keith. I'll give it back to you. Spread the
vision. All right. Can you guys thank Matt? Wow. And I want to follow it up with just thanking Medford again, man. We coming out here knowing that, you know, a 27-year-old wasn't going to just lead the charge on his own. I think at that time, was I 26? Yeah, sorry. Now he just found out. But having the accountability, having the friendship, having the guys that will get around you and just speak life and also challenge and say, hey, you know, how'd you do that? Why are you doing that? And just being able to have those conversations is a beautiful thing. So thank you. And thank all of you guys for what you guys are doing here. And I'm just so thankful. What we're going to do, and I'm going to do my best. I've realized more about myself that every time I try to talk to someone, somehow I turn into preaching to someone. It's just like in me, and I got to scale it back. So tonight, I don't know if I'm supposed to preach or I'm supposed to talk or I'm supposed to be businessy, but if that's a word. But what I'm going to do over the next however many minutes is I'm going to work through what you have in your hand. And we're going to have it up here as well, so you don't have to look down. I don't want your neck to hurt. There's only like two pages in there that aren't going to show up here, but you have them in your hand. And if you're going through this thing and you're like, I don't understand what that means. I don't understand why we did that. What does that mean? What I want you to do is there's a pen in the chair in front of you, okay? So then jot some notes down on those pages, and there's an email that you can send after tonight, or even now, if you want to just get out your phone and be like, I'm going to email this guy right now. So you can email me, Pastor Keith at Truth Community. You can email info@truthcommunity. It all goes to my inbox regardless. But if there's things that you're like, I don't really fully understand that, I want to make sure that there's clarity that's brought to anything that's addressed in there. And you can try to get me afterwards. I'll be by the cookies, okay, because I am looking forward to a cookie. But I want to go through, and we can go to the benchmark slide. These are kind of like the five areas that I want to bring in the spotlight to you guys. Because as I start to think about what does a healthy church look like? You know, what? How do you define health? And I start talking to other pastors, and everyone seems to have metrics that we say, well, this means health, and we calculate this into our health purposes. These are kind of the five things that all, like, the pastors I've talked to have kind of landed on and say, you can't just evaluate by butts and budgets, right? You can't just be how many people are in the seats and what does your budget look like. There's got to be more than just that to a healthy church. And so I want to work through some of that to you guys. But I know the reason why you're here is for the financials, okay? You only showed up to know where does the money go. You heard business meeting and you're like, he asked me to give money, which I never do. But in your head, I come to church and he always asks me to give more money. And where's it going? So we're going to work through the financials now. And if you go to the page I'm on, which you'll never know because it's up here, it's the one with income. This is how much we brought in last year. This is how much you gave last year. $74,144.08. And like, if this was a church that claps, that's where you would clap. There it is. All right. So And I want you to realize how astronomical that is, because we are right now averaging somewhere between 30 to 35 adults on a Sunday. Okay, so 30 to 35 adults now. All right, this is, and honestly, we've seen a little bit of a boom just in 2017. So if you want to give our average attendance for 2016, we were more like 25 to 30 adults. So 25 to 30 adults gave almost $75,000. I'm a part of a Facebook group called Pastors Under 40 in the Assemblies of God, and it's just like a safe place for us to talk about whatever's going on in our hearts and just get information from each other. And last night I threw up a post on there just asking churches how their budgets break down, how much do they allocate towards salaries, buildings, ministries, and I shared our information. I said, we're a church of this size and we gave this much. And someone commented and was like, dude, forget about all your budgets. You have a church of 30 adults and you generated $75,000 of income. You have a generous church. And like everyone just started liking that comment and forgot about everything else. So it moved it up. And I was like, well, I didn't get any answers now, dude. But that's the reality, guys. You are generous and it's amazing. And obviously, you know, and we're gonna see what our projected income is for the next 2017. But obviously we need resources to do things. You can't just show up and hope that we're gonna have a dynamic kids ministry going downstairs if there's no resources for it. We can't present a dynamic discipleship resources. We can't do community events. We can't keep the lights on. There's things that have to be done, and that comes by resources coming in. And I want to stop here and thank you and every person who has made it a point to say, generosity is going to be a part of my lifestyle. I'm going to show up here. And even when I don't show up here, there's some of you guys, like you don't show up and then all of a sudden you like double up or you triple up on what you said. I'm going to give this because you're just so sold on generosity. And I thank you for that. And there it is, a clap again. So our expenses in year one were $81,138.50, which put us at a net income of almost negative $7,000. Now, here's where all that came up. Year one, if you want to use business terms, there's a lot of startup cost. And that's just the reality. We came in, we put as Matt said, new technology around the place. We installed AC in the basement for the kids. That was $3,000 just by itself. We cleared the property out there. That was $2,000 by itself. We had a new oil tank put in. We had a new chimney put in. There was all of these little things that had mainly building cosmetic stuff that needed to just get up and running. And yet still for that, to close the gap at just $7,000 is just an amazing, amazing thing. Our bank account right now, we had an opening balance at the beginning of the year of almost $80,000, and we closed out at about $70,000. So when we came to this church in 2015, there was money in the bank, so to say, right? So there was some money there, which is great because it provides us with a cushion, and it provides Medford with the thought of, okay, great, there's a safety net there, and we're another safety net on top of that, which is just a beautiful thing to have. And to just keep that income at that place for me and for you, because this is your church, it's that peace of mind. And we do want to show you all the resources and where they're going. So if you turn to your next page, that's the one we don't have on a slide. This is a profit and loss statement. I'm a big fan of P&L reports, so I run them this way. Just going to maximize on my screen real quick. This will show you kind of where all the funds that came in last year, where they were allocated towards. And I only want to point out one thing that you're probably like, what in the world is that about? There's a negative there under general fund and reconciliation discrepancies. What happened there is there was a duplicate entry on an offering because that was at the time when we were shifting over to online giving. So certain things got entered twice. And then when the bank statement came through, our bookkeeper at the time realized like, oh, wait a second, I gave them an extra $1,500. So she just made up a separate fund to just deduct that. So that's where that went. It didn't go in my pocket. It didn't go in anyone else's. That's just where it went. And so you guys can know too, and we can applaud after I make this next statement. So brace yourselves. We have an incredible bookkeeper here at the church, and that's Aaron Charles. He's usually hiding in the sound booth, but she is right now running the screens. But Aaron went through some training towards the fall time with the bookkeeper from Medford. And since then, he's just been doing an excellent, excellent job at keeping great track of everything. All the receipts downstairs are filed in the right places. He'll hang out afterwards on Sunday because now he's got a full-time job he's working. So he spends extra time here on a Sunday. He volunteers this time. He makes sure everything is in order. He's reconciling bank statements at the end of the month. He's writing checks, and everything is going from him writing it over to these guys to oversee it and making sure that it's being signed off on. So Aaron, thank you. That's your public thank you. Don't expect a bonus. And now I want to talk about 2017 because that's the year we're living in. So what are we projecting for 2017? I've come up, and not just on my own, but talking to other pastors and other people, our leadership team, this is what we're projecting as a budget for this year. It's about $3,000 less than what we actually brought in last year, because we don't want to just tap out. We don't want to just be blindly going through faith. So we don't want to just say, if we brought in $74,000 last year, let's make a budget of $90,000 and trust God. No, let's shrink our budget. That's smart business. And I know some of us get weird, like church isn't a business. But for right now, let's just pretend it is. It's a business meeting. So we decided we're going to go with $71,020 as a projected, this is what we'll need to accomplish what we're really putting our heart towards this year. That puts us at a monthly expense of around $4,000 every month. And I put this little note on there because maybe you're not aware of this. One of our core values here is that generosity is tangible. And what we mean by that is that we want to make giving as accessible for every person as possible. We want it to be ingrained in who we are. Now, what's very weird about that is we don't collect an offering here. Like, right, you come and we don't have ushers that go by. We don't take anything from you. We have collection boxes on the wall. And when we made that shift from taking an offering to saying we want people to give an offering, practically, the reason why we realized that is because we were a church at that point of about 15 people. And so when a guest would come in and the ushers didn't really know how to navigate that, it was like, do I put the thing in front of the guest or not? And it was like this weird dance where like, we need to get rid of this or people are not coming back. Like, because everyone's watching the one guest because we all know he's new right now. So, and I had spoken to another guy who connected with Judah Smith out in City Church in Seattle, and their church, they do collection boxes. And I'm like, if a church of like tens of thousands of people do collection boxes and they're trusting people are going to give, we can test it. And I want to thank you guys, because when we did that, we watched and the giving didn't dip by any means, because people who have been moved by generosity, you're just going to find a way to give. And I find people too, they'll be like, where do I put this money? I'm like, shh, you're so loud. It's right there. Right? Like, it's like the greatest and the coolest thing. It's like, man, there's a point in the Bible where they're collecting for the temple and God speaks to David and tells him, or Solomon rather, like, you need to tell the people to stop bringing resources. Like, we have too much. And it's just an amazing thing that's happening here. But on those lines, we have online giving, which is super tangible for generosity. And what I'm a really big proponent of is scheduled giving. I use it here. So every Sunday, the giving that I give here to this church, it automatically comes out of my bank account. And the reason why is because if I'm not here on a Sunday, I want to make sure that the commitment I've made to generosity is going to help reach the budget that's been set. And so it's a really tangible, practical way. We have, you're not going to understand this language, but we have PC3 protection on this, which means that it's super protected. Like, it's not just our church running your credit cards. We don't even see your credit card when you put it through. It goes through third parties. And the software we use is called Simple Give. So for peace of mind as well on that, and I understand. And look, checks are good. Mail is good. Cash is good. We're not just doing away with collection boxes either. But I wanted to highlight, in case you weren't even aware, like, well, I want to give, but I'm not here, and I want to make sure I contribute to this budget every Sunday I can. Scheduled giving is a great way to do that. You'll have this next sheet in your book, which again, we don't have on the screen because of the landscape versus portrait mode. This is a breakdown of what that budget's going to look like. So I told you $4,000 is our monthly expenses, and overall $71,000 is what we're projecting for the year. And you can see every single one of those line items and where the money is going, where it's being allocated towards. We're not trying to hide anything here. So yes, you know what I make. It's right there on the page. I'm not filtering it under different things. That's it right there. And the other line items that are on there as well. Some of it we obviously project. Like, that's why I hate when it snows. Like, when it snows for me as a pastor, I'm like, oh, they're going to take another couple $100. I'm like, is it 1 to 3 inches? Please stay under 3 inches, because it's a lot cheaper that way. So that's like what I think when you guys are like, snow day, maybe church will be canceled. I'm like, no, like, no more snow. So that's my personal problem. I probably should get checked out. And so that's kind of the financials. What I want to move into now is the other areas of how we measure health of a church here. And that would be under discipleship as the next thing. So discipleship, this is just some stuff that we saw accomplished in year one here when it comes to people growing on their faith journey. Like I said, we were averaging between 35 people. So that number is including kids that we were having on a Sunday. Now, understand, when we came here in October 2015, there was seven faithful adults coming to this church at that time. And I want to applaud even... they're all still here, part of this church, which is an amazing thing. And some are here in this room. And so I do want to pause and just applaud you guys. Because the faithfulness to just say, I'm going to stay here. especially when this guy comes in with like skinny jeans and I don't know what's going on. And just to continue here is an amazing thing. And we saw together as a united church, seven plus everyone that was coming together, really 5 times growth when you look at 35, which is an amazing thing. It really is. The more people that I get to share this story with, just when they hear the retention of a church that existed, plus the addition of new people coming on, and to see that growth in year one, it's amazing. And that growth is you guys. And so I thank you for coming here. What we did for discipleship in 2016 was we had 2 rounds of small groups growing. That was early on in 2016. Amy and I both ran those out of our house, and we quickly learned that we had done something wrong. That was kind of the error mistakes in the early seasons. Because you get excited, you're like, all right, what are all the big churches doing? The big churches are doing small groups. We don't really have anyone to run them, so let's run them ourselves. And Sundays and everything else is going on. And at that point, we had a midweek gathering going on as well. And that's when we started to put the brakes on certain things because we really wanted for discipleship to be laser focused. We really wanted to make sure that if we were going to do something and it was going to help you get closer to Jesus, that it wasn't us just throwing out this buffet of like garbage food. You ever been to like a bad buffet? Like, yeah, sure, it's all you can eat, but who wants CC's pizza? Like, we don't want that. Who cares if it's five? And I got nothing against CC's pizza. So if you're listening, sponsor us. But who wants just a buffet of stuff that doesn't taste good? We wanted to make sure that what we're going to present is going to be done with excellence. And so this year, we have a vision for discipleship that's going to be rolling out late spring, which we'll get to towards the end of this talk. Another thing that we did in the summer was establishing a leadership team. And Matt pointed out to these guys and girls that are sitting here on my right, that was another thing that Amy and I had realized early on, that we kind of started building the first foundation, the first level of a house, and we totally skipped the foundation. We totally skipped people who were leaning into the vision that Amy and I had in our hearts, that were just excelling, and they were like, we want to do anything. We've got this, and we want to carry it with you. We want to carry you. And these people started to surface, to just rise to the top, and we're like, these are the people that they need to be brought on in some kind of capacity of leadership. And so in June of 2016, we said, we've got to get some people around us and landed on these guys here. And I want you to know that this leadership team cares about you in this church like you can't understand. We talk every single day. We have a group text message going on where we are sharing with one another ideas, where we're sharing with one another vision, where we are sharing with one another prayer requests, where we are just lifting up the church. Every month, we are getting together to pray for you. Now, some of the times we're doing it digitally because we realize there's just this thing. Like Edwin, I don't know if you guys know, Edwin lives in Wheatley Heights. Like, you think you don't know where Flanders is? I don't know where Edwin lives, but he lives, I just know it's really far away and he keeps coming back. And I'm like, Edwin, go to a church by you, man. He's like, no. So we were like, let's do this because we want to pray. So 1 month, 2 month, we get on Google Hangouts and we'll pray with one another digitally. And then on the third month, we get together and we share a meal together and we pray together. And so this Friday, our leadership team's going to be coming to my house and we're going to be spending some hours praying for you guys and praying for what God's going to do this Sunday. This is what your leadership team is doing every month because they care about this church, because we want prayer to be a cornerstone of what's happening here. And so for you guys, I just want to thank each one of you for all that you've done in this past year. Devin's working with our creative arts. Ashley's working downstairs with our kids. Ed, when you see him in the back, he's kind of like, you think he's got a gun because the way he stands there. And we tell him to do that purposely, like, keep your shirt untucked in the back, but tuck the rest in, right? And don't grow hair. And he's been listening. So it's been a good thing. But seriously, Edwin's just been taking the welcome team to a whole new level as well, getting out there this past week, helping cars park. And you guys have seen Mike and all that he's done. Really, Mike he's kind of like my guy. And I love Mike so much because this guy has such a tremendous amount of wisdom that I don't have. And he's just always challenging me, always like, all right, Pastor, this seems kind of really out of the box, but let's go for it. Like the first time we had a leaders meeting, funny story. The first time we had a leaders meeting, I was like, all right, we got to play some icebreaker games with our leaders. So what we did was we tied balloons to our ankles and we had to like try and stomp the other person. So it was a team building exercise. And like, I've got Mike with a balloon tied around his ankle. I knew this guy was sold. I knew like, if I can get someone like this to just put on a balloon and pop with people's. And so, but seriously, you see Mike leading communion up here. You see him in the back praying for people. Mike's going to be speaking a lot this year. And so I'm thankful every single one of these guys. And of course, my wife. wife, just always being the person that you guys think you get to hear me talk a lot. Like, I try to keep it to 30 minutes. She gets 24/7 of just me just talking. And like, when we're not together, I'm texting her, like, what do you think about this? And so every single one of you guys, I want to thank you, because you're pouring into this church. So that would be a good place to clap too. Thank you. Talking about mission, one of our core values here, there's literally crickets right now. Talk about mission. Mission is normal is one of our core values as well, which means this. Mission should be a part of who we are. It shouldn't be something that we're getting weird about. It shouldn't be something that we have to think, well, how exactly am I going to do this? Every moment of our day, we're living on mission. When you're around people you don't know, there's opportunity to live on mission. When you're with your family, you can live on mission. And so we believe here that mission should be normal to what we do. And we saw some of that primarily through events in 2016. That 465, that was the amount of people that came to our Hope Day event, which is a great, great thing to see 465 people from the community respond and come here on our church property with no strings attached. Like, you're like, well, where are they? They're not in the church. The purpose of that event was not to grow the church. The purpose of that event was simply to meet tangible needs in our community. And that's exactly what happened. We had about 9 churches come together, 160 volunteers, and we put on this event for the community that day. We had a lot of recognition from local government. We had civic associations recognizing us. We had the Southampton Town Youth Bureau here recognizing all the hard work that was being done to just reach people with no strings attached. And at that point, we're a church of like 20, 25 people. And of course, Mike, if you don't know, like, Mike is Mr. Hope Day. So like for me, I was like, he's like, no, I don't want to. But for me, I was like, I know I don't have a choice. Like, Mike's going to make me do Hope Day. Like, there's no way around this. He's the drum. Like, he'll probably refuse to drum if I don't do it. But I did. I had some good conversations with Mike. I was like, honestly, I was like, Mike, what do you think about us doing Hope Day? We're a church at that point of 4 months old, because you got to start. Like, we have a Hope Day meeting this Monday for different leaders. We're already starting. So you got to start in February. We're a church of 4 months. And I'm like, is it something smart to do? Like, I don't want to stretch our church and take on this massive community event when we're a 4-month-old church. And he and I just, we talked a lot, and he knew I was going back and forth about it and just kept praying and really landed on, this is going to be a great way to expose the gospel in the community of Flanders. This is going to be a great way to turn the system upside down. And that's exactly what it did. Because from that snowballed the other things you see on that list. You know what's really cool about every other item on that list? We didn't think about doing those things. We didn't come up with the ideas to do any of those things. You know who did? The town. They saw what we did at Hope Day, and they connected with us and said, would you guys be into doing a back-to-school event with us? There was 2 other secular organizations doing this right on the grassy area by the traffic circle. And they were like, would your church be willing to come down and maybe hand out backpacks? You guys did such a great job. And I was like, I don't know. You want us to help people? Let me think about that, right? And so what we did as a leadership team was we grabbed that as our mission project. And so every one of these leaders, we went down there on a Saturday and we handed out backpacks. And we got to meet people, and we did press-on tattoos, and we did bracelets for the kids. And we saw like over 300 families come through that event that day. And we just got to just love them. Again, no strings attached. And they're like, hey, that was really cool. We kind of want to do a trunk or treat. We've heard about these things. Have you ever heard of this? Like, they asked the church if they ever heard of trunk or treat. And I was like, guys, like, this is what we do. So we got involved with that and partnered with that. And you guys went down there and we had cars parked. And then they approached us in December time, and it said, our community really doesn't have anything around the holidays that we gather around. We do the lighting at the Big Duck, but there's no like tree lighting. Would you do this? And we'll pay for it for you to do it. We're like, so wait, you don't want us to use money and you want us to love people. We can do that, right? So they wrote us a check. They took care of what the expenses were to everything you saw here that night. We had 180 people come into this building, not all at once, because that's a fire code hazard. All right, we had people come in. They were doing crafts over here. They were getting their picture taken with Santa. They were walking out. They were going and getting snacks. They were singing songs. I got to share a brief message about Christmas, and we got to light this tree that now is going to be an annual event. The goal is we want to have a tree lighting every year. So this spring, we're going to see a tree get planted out here that's going to stay in the community. It's going to grow with the community. But guys, all of those things was because you turned the system upside down. It's because you flipped it on its head. It's because you give. It's because you come back. It's because you invite people. It's because you serve. And so this area is all about what you do by living on mission. And that kind of brings us to the end, which is good, because I got 1 minute. Rachel is sending me messages on that screen. She's not doing that. This brings us to, where are we going in 2017? Beyond the numbers. The numbers are one thing. Honestly, I don't... The numbers, the money, God's in charge of the resources. So he's using you guys by moving your hearts towards generosity. And he's creating in me and in our team together this vision of, where do we want the church to go in this year? What is the goal for this year? And our goal for 2017, if I was to boil it down to one word, is this: discipleship. Discipleship. More than anything else that we're going to focus on in 2017, my heart is that the people that come here on Sundays would understand what it means to live on mission, would understand what it means to follow Jesus from Sunday at 11:06 to the following Sunday at 9:59 a.m. That every minute in between, while we gather for our 65 minutes here, that you would know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so with that, we have some of these goals in mind. Now, the first item that's on there, it's with that, because to be disciples of Jesus, we want to give our money away. So we as a church, we're committing that we want to give 5% of that budget away, not even just to like community events, but like out the door, we don't see anything directly from it. So we are looking to support global missionaries. We already support local missionaries. We support Lighthouse missions every month. We want to find organizations that it will not directly bring people here. We want to give 5% of what we see come in out right away. And we're committed to doing that. And that's only going to happen if we continue to be disciples who give. But here's something we've already started: monthly prayer gatherings. When our leadership team met in December, I asked them, what's the one thing that we're not doing? Like, what's one thing on your heart that you feel like we're dropping the ball on it? We need to excel in this. We need to start something. And every single one of them said prayer. Every single one. And that was already in my heart. And I wanted to kind of see if it was going to be validated and confirmed. And we were all like, we need to start praying together corporately. More than just Sundays for 10 minutes before our gathering kicks off. We need to have a designated time. And so we landed on, let's do this thing monthly. Let's start with first Wednesday of the month, begin praying together. And us as a leadership team, we're praying another day out of the month, every month together. And we want that to grow. And we've already seen two times people just come and fill these chairs. So percentage-wise, we had at our last gathering over 60% of our church show up at a prayer night. 60%, when the national average is between 3 to 5% of a church coming out. And I'm not just saying that because we're a small church and, okay, so you got 18 people out of a church of 30. That makes 60%. Yeah, but why can't we retain that percentage? Why can't we be a church? Brooklyn Tab's done it. Why can't we be a church that has just retained that? And that's what we want to see here. We want prayer to be a part of who we are as a church. And so we're committed to doing that this year. We're also committed to something that I'm super excited to finally tell you guys about, because we've been working on it for a couple months now, and it's called Growth Track. Growth Track for us is this discipleship program, if I got to use that word, but it's just discipleship at its heart. And I believe it's going to take every single one of you guys to this place in your walk with Jesus that it's just going to be beautiful. And so I don't want to spoil too much, because it's going to be coming to a church near you late spring, but we do have a promo video that'll kind of give you some hints as to what it looks like.
Whether you're new to our church or you've been coming for a while, Growth Track events are designed to kickstart your spiritual growth by providing clear and simple on-ramps that will challenge you to go farther, faster in your faith. These events happen each month and cover a wide range of topics that include how to become a member of our church, learning the basics of our Christian faith, discovering your spiritual gifts, and more. Visit our website for more information about other upcoming Growth Track events.
So that's like super teaser trailer, but that's all I want it to be. But I will give you a little more insight. What Growth Track is that every single Sunday, starting hopefully in late spring, after our gathering up here, we're going to be going downstairs from about 11:30 to 12:30 and working through every single one of those things. So each week has a focus on it. So week one is all about building a gospel foundation. And this week, you're going to understand what it means to share your gospel story, what it means to give your heart to Jesus if you've never done that. And you're going to have opportunity to say, I want to get water baptized. And then on week two, we're going to be talking about who we are as a church, our mission, our vision, our values, our strategy, how our church government works, how we view church finances, all those kind of things that make us very unique as a church. And at the end of week two, you're going to have an opportunity to say, I love this church. I want to partner with it. I want to be a member here. Week three is when it's your discovery week, and you're going to be taking a spiritual gift test, a personality test, and finding out, how has God uniquely designed me? What's my makeup? What has he gifted me with? And then in week four, it's taking what you discovered in week three and saying, here's how you would fit in perfectly at Truth Community Church. You're an introvert with the gift of hospitality. Well, then we would love to see your gifts used here. Oh, you're an extrovert and you're super generous. We would love to see you used here. And so that's kind of what Growth Track is. It's going to be this revolving door of discipleship that happens every single Sunday, every Sunday. One, two, three, four. If there's a fifth Sunday, our team gets a break. But the most of the months, one, two, three, four, we're so passionate about discipleship happening that that's what's going to be taking place. So super excited about it. It's going to be coming in late spring. Like I said, right now we've been demoing it. So our leaders have been staying around after services for a couple weeks now. We've been working through this together. But I want you guys to get excited about it because for me, like this is just that laser focus of what discipleship is going to look like. And the last thing that we have there are circles, which is our language for small groups, which we ran some circles at the beginning of last year. Our hope this year in the fall is to relaunch some version of circles. We're not too certain yet what exactly it's going to look like, if they're going to be gender specific, if they're going to be co-ed, where they're going to take place. We're working through that now as we're thinking. But both of those things, primarily circles and Growth Track, that's us saying our vision this year is to see people discipled, to move us just from an hour on Sunday to understanding what it means to live on mission Monday through Saturday. And that is my heart for this year. And so my last slide there is a thank you. And I want to say this, and I hope that you can understand it and that you know I mean it. I am so thankful for every single one of you guys that continue to come back each week. I'm so thankful that you continue to invite people. I'm so thankful that you continue to give, that you continue to serve, that you continue to say, you know what, I want to be fully invested in what's going on here. Because if not for us, there's no church. The church is a gathering of people. It's not this building. This is a church building, but it's not a church. The church is when people get together. And that takes place primarily here on Sundays, and you guys continue to keep coming back. And so I thank you for that. There's no way that I can express it enough how much I'm filled with gratitude as I come here every single week and I get greeted by you guys and I get handshakes and most of the time you guys stay awake while I talk for 30 minutes and laugh at my jokes. That makes me feel good too. But I do mean that. I'm so thankful for you guys making the church work here. And so that's kind of our business meeting. That's our vision night. And I hope tonight empowered you. That was really my hope going into this. Like you leave here, not all juiced up on coffee, which you can too, but that you leave here just like, man, I'm so excited for this year. Like I want you to do what I do every night. Like, is it late spring yet? Is Growth Track here? Like that's what I've been, Amy's like, well, are you talking to your sleep again? Right? But I want you guys to just be super excited about everything that's going to be taking place. We are gearing up to do Hope Day again. It's going to be June 3rd. So we'll start unrolling that to our church corporately soon. We're partnering with other churches like we did last year. Like I said, having a meeting of what that's going to look like. But it's going to be a really cool year. And I'm thankful for you guys hanging in 2016. 2017 is going to be even better. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Good Lord, we recognize that none of this takes place if not for your Holy Spirit. None of this happens and none of this matters if the Holy Spirit's not at the core of what's going on here. We can get fired up and juiced up on human resources, on human passion, but that's not sustainable. That will not move hearts from sinner to saved. Only the work of the Holy Spirit will do that. And I thank you that we've seen the work of the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen you just take who I was at the beginning of 2016 and bring me on a journey to know you more. I've seen it in the lives of so many people in this room right now, of them moving closer to the cross, of moving closer to Jesus Christ, your son. And that is a testimony to the work of your Spirit in our lives. And so we thank you and we ask once again and believe as we ask you hear us, that you would pour out more of your Spirit in this place, that you would overwhelm our hearts, that you would baptize and fill us daily, that we can be disciples who are living on mission, that the generosity that we report in 2018 about 2017 would be even more astronomical, that the amount of service that we do, that the amount of love that we show, that the amount of gospel growth that takes place would only be on that incline, Lord. We thank you for all that you are doing. We thank you for the care of Medford. We thank you for their heart to be over us, to continue to watch what's going on here with hopeful eyes and saying, look at what's going to be next. Look at what God's doing next out in Flanders. And I pray that you would bless them as well. I pray, Lord, that their church would continue to grow, that they would continue to impact their local communities. Father, let us be the church of Long Island. Let us partner with the churches in our communities, break down walls of denomination, break down differences of opinion and belief, and let us rally around the gospel message. Let us rally around the cross. Father, I pray that Flanders would be changed in 2017. I pray for the hearts of our local government leaders. I pray for the hearts of our local civic association leaders, Lord. The people that we are partnering with, I thank you. Thank you for them. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit's going to work in their lives. Lord, we commit all of this to you. Yeah, we have a plan. We have a vision. We have a budget in place. But Lord, we've read it and we've said it before. If not for you, we labor in vain. Moses said it clearly. If you won't go in front of me, I will not go. And that is our heart here. We want you to go in front of us, Lord. We want you to be that torch that guides us by night. We want you to be that cloud that guides us by day. We want to follow your lead, Jesus. And we thank you that we can do that. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here tonight. Be with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.